So I think of all the lands in the Magic Kingdom, I'm most excited about Tomorrowland.
Well, I think of all the lands in the Magic Kingdom, Tomorrowland, I don't know. I think Tomorrowland has the most to do if you are an older visitor to Tomorrowland. I mean, I hesitate to say that because I'm thinking, you know, you've got Big Thunder and Splash, both over in Frontierland, and then you've got Jungle Cruise. But now that we're over in Tomorrowland, I mean, and I don't even know. I guess, is it space is just that attractive?
Yeah, I think when you're our age, you know, mm-hmm. kind of space and technology and stuff like that are kind of, you know, they at least remind me of being a little kid.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's probably the bigger thing is the fact that we're both geeks.
Yeah.
And you know, growing up, I know I was totally into all of the space stuff. And Tomorrowland really speaks to that to this day. And I think that's probably it because I say it's got most stuff, but I mean, it doesn't really have that many more attractions that are, specifically for older visitors and not for the younger visitors and really no more than anywhere else does. But yeah, I agree with you. There's just that feeling.
I think Tomorrowland has more, unique and interesting attractions than the other ones. To say like Big Thunder Mountain's a roller coaster, Splash Mountain's a log flume, but Tomorrowland, you know, you've got the, you know, Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor and Astro Orbiter and stuff like that. Attractions that are kind of unique to themselves.
Right. And I think what's funny about it is it doesn't really feel like that's an area that they've tried to update. It still very much has the feel of what the future was going to be like back when it was built, you know, so built in 71 and still very much carries the feel of this is what the future is going to look like in, you know, in 2000.
Yeah. It's very Back to the Future 2.
Yes, which is, I think, is an awesome thing because, you know, if you look at most things that talk about the future in our current age, it's very, you know, every movie, every book, I feel like is very bleak, very dismal. You know, I think of movies like WALL-E, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that view of the future, and that is kind of the overreaching view of the future, but that's not what they had back then. They had this cool, everything's going to be awesome, we're going to have flying cars, you know, all of the architecture that they use in, you know, I'm thinking of like Space Mountain and then the way the Astro Orbiter is set up. It just, it has that hopeful, futuristic feel to it that's just a lot of fun, I think.
Right. Yeah, and I think I was actually going to use the word hopeful because that's what the whole thing is. It's like, man, the future is going to be awesome.
Yeah, and I think that's really what, you know, I think that's what attracts us even to this day to that land, particularly.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Speaking of the Astro Orbiter, that's another thing that I did not get to do,
mm-hmm.
but I was super bummed out when we left, and I was like, oh no, I didn't need to ride the Astro Orbiter, because that's, you know, classic.
Yes, yeah, and it is classic, and I don't know. To me, the Astro Orbiter, and I've ridden it once, maybe twice. It feels very much like Dumbo, but on the roof, which is, it's very cool, the views that you get from it and everything, and it's definitely something you have to do for the classic feel. But I don't know. It's another one of those things where the line waits get really, really long, and then. I guess for me that whole it's Dumbo but on the roof thing kind of gets to me, and then I'm just like, I can afford to skip it. But at the same time, like I said, it definitely, you get some really cool views of the park, and it is a classic attraction, and that alone should be worth riding it at least once.
Right.
And, you know, what's funny is I don't want to wait on that one, but one of the attractions that I love going on in Tomorrowland And it seems absolutely ridiculous on some level that this is one of my favorite attractions, but it's the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover.
The TTA.
The TTA. And that thing is just, I don't know, there's just something about it that I just really enjoy. It's so relaxing. There's almost never a wait. And even if there is, because it's a people mover, the thing is always going. So the line is always moving.
Right.
You know, and once you get on it, you just sit back, relax, you know, you get to go through part of Space Mountain. You know, it takes you throughout Tomorrowland, and you have the little voice telling you different things about Tomorrowland. And I don't know, there's just something about that that's just fun to me, to get to relax and just take everything in and look around, and not to feel like I'm going, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and it's, what is it, 10 minutes long?
Yeah. So it's actually a very long attraction, you know, and I think they say that it goes behind the scenes of different things. You're not going to see any like cast member areas, when you go behind the scenes, but it is very cool to be like riding through Space Mountain. You can kind of, you can hear the people on the roller coaster and you can see the people who are waiting in line and everything. They've got that one, there's a section of it where you're going past a, model, and I think it's of Epcot maybe.
Yeah.
And it's like behind glass window. And so it's kind of like, you know, that one section of the train in
Splash Mountain.
Huh?
Not
the one in Splash Mountain, but the one at Disneyland where they've got like that whole prehistoric dinosaur thing going on.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that because this doesn't look out into anything that's actually there. They've just got stuff set up. So you can see some of these models of what Epcot was supposed to be like, I think, and some other stuff. So again, like I said, it's a long, 10-minute long attraction that's just very relaxing, very comforting, and it gives you a good chance to take in everything that Tomorrowland really has.
Right.
So yeah, like I said, it seems weird that would be an attraction that is like a must hit, but for me, that's always a must do when I'm in Tomorrowland.
Yeah, and it's a nice way to just kind of take a load off and sit for a while.
Definitely, which, you know, when you're at Disney, if you can sit and get to mark an attraction off your list, that seems like an immediate win to me any day of the week.
You know what's not relaxing or comforting at all is Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin.
This is true, but I think Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin is also a lot of fun.
Oh, it's awesome, but it is hectic.
Yes. Constant, especially if you have two people in the car. You know, I've ridden with my dad and my wife at different times visiting the parks, and I think with my sister as well. And, you know, there's always that fight because you have two people. Both of you have guns, and because this isn't the Disneyland version, the gun is actually attached to the ride vehicle. So, you know, you're forced to, wherever that ride vehicle is pointed, that's where you're going to have to shoot. And there is one joystick in the middle, and I want to shoot at this, and she wants to, or, you know, he wants to shoot at that, whoever. And so it's an interesting little thing, cause you've got to compete. You've got to get the highest score cause there's a score in front of you, and I've got to get higher than the other person.
Yeah. It really helps if the person you're playing against doesn't care.
was that your wife's take on the whole thing?
she was let's say a little ambiguous on the fun value of Space Ranger Spin.
I guess there are some people who are like that, but you know, I like that attraction because it is just, you know, it's kind of a dark ride without And what they did was they went very light on the story, really, and then went very heavy on the, here's something you can actually do while you're riding through this dark ride.
Right. They went very heavy on the video game aspect of it.
Right, which would explain why I like it so much. I like video games, so why wouldn't I like something that's a big video game?
Right. Me too.
Yeah. But you know what? That one is, I really do like that one, but I really wish that they would take the Disneyland one and give us the guns that actually detach from the ride vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a really nice improvement and gives you a lot more versatility when you're on the attraction and not being locked in. Though I guess if you're not locked in, it takes away some of the fun of fighting with whoever happens to get stuck riding with you, you know?
Yeah, or what's an attraction without a little domestic dispute built in?
That's right. Or if you ride it by yourself, you actually have access to two guns, which is also kind of fun.
That's cheating.
Only if you add the scores together.
Ah, mm-hmm. And if you don't, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, because if you don't, you're not going to do nearly as well. You know, it's actually kind of funny. I remember waiting in line for some attraction. It was not Space Ranger Spin, and I think it was even in a different park, so say Epcot or something like that. Waiting in line and talking with this older couple, and you know, I'm thinking probably 70s, and this, you know, this lady talking about how her husband is in love with the new Toy Story Mania over at Disney Hollywood Studios because he knows all the secrets to Space Ranger Spin, to Space Ranger Spin, so he always maxes out his score because he knows all the secret little targets that you have to hit that are worth all the mega points, and so he doesn't see a challenge in it anymore, and so now he wants to go and do Toy Story Mania because it actually offers him a challenge again.
Ah, okay, I see.
Yeah, which, you know, it was amusing, number one, that he has been on it enough that he's got this all locked down. And number two, you know, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sure this is ageist of me, but this, you know, like I said, the guy's like 70, and this is like super fun to him. And I think I have this this tendency to look at attractions like that where it's loud, it's, you know, there's flashing lights, it's, you know, trying to shoot at things, and I feel like that's going to have a younger skew to it, but it really does attract all ages.
Yeah.
You know, and I think Disney does very well at that because it would be very easy to take an attraction like that and play it down, or definitely play that attraction to say your 15 to 30 demographic,
mm-hmm.
and totally leave out the younger kids by making it a little bit too scary, and leave out older people just making them feel unwelcome or whatever it might be. But Disney's done a very good job of finding that middle ground to where it's accessible to everybody.
Right. But to be fair, this sounds like a pretty cool old guy you're talking about.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely he was. But yeah, so he was, but I've seen lots of other older people and, you know, little kids all getting on this attraction. So I just think things are like that are fun when Disney manages to pull everybody in. And they would pull even more people in if they would let me take the gun off of the ride vehicle. Yeah, did I beat that horse enough?
Yes. I think it's sufficiently dead again.
Okay. So now that we've talked about Space Ranger Spin, I want to go back to another ride that I like and a lot of people ignore when they go to Tomorrowland. And I think it is criminal that this gets ignored by anybody who goes to Tomorrowland, and that is the Carousel of Progress.
Oh, okay. Yes, I totally agree. Totally agree. Love the Carousel of Progress.
No, I was totally going to say Stitch's Great Escape. Yes, no.
I thought you were going to say the Tomorrowland Speedway, and I was like, come on, man.
No.
That's really lame.
No, the Carousel of Progress. you know, and it's so weird because there is never a wait at the Carousel of Progress have I ever, anytime I've been there. The only wait is if it is currently going.
Right.
And you're waiting to get to enter. But I've never had to wait, you know, like one group enters and we don't make it or anything like that. And again, you know, that blows my mind because, you know, Carousel of Progress is just, it is classic Disney through and through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's so cool to see, again, getting that feeling of, you know, this is where we came from to this is where we are. And even a little bit, this is where we're going. Though now the today / a little bit more tomorrow has pretty much completely caught up. But you have to remember that this thing was originally created in 1964 for the World's Fair. And to look at it through those glasses, it just, it's awesome.
I'm sorry, but the grandmother playing the virtual reality video game while the self-cooking oven runs in the background, we're not there yet.
And burns everything?
Yeah.
actually, I think, I don't know. I think there are a couple of self-cooking ovens out there that will burn everything. And, you know, you think, what, like Oculus Rift and things like that? I mean,
right.
we are right on the cusp of the future as it is seen in there. And, of course, you know, once it gets there, it will get a little update again because it has had a few updates here and there to kind of move it forward. And plus, it has, you know, the Sherman Brothers' Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow in it.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about a song that gets stuck in your head.
But I don't know. To me, it gets stuck in my head, but isn't like an ear. It doesn't annoy me when it gets stuck in my head.
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, Claire and I sing it all the time, but it just, man, that chorus part will get stuck in your head.
Yes, it is definitely, definitely catchy. And it's funny that it's just such a simple attraction. But again, it's a simple attraction. You get to sit in a theater that moves, but you don't have to move. So you sit in a seat, and I don't know how long. That's a pretty long attraction as well. I don't know exactly how long it is.
It's about 15 minutes.
I think it's even longer than that. Let's see. I'm going to cheat and look. A 21 minute. Yes.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so this is a long attraction. By Disney standards. And it's a, like I said, it's basically a show, just all done by audio animatronics. Think of it as doing Hall of Presidents. If Hall of Presidents were actually something cool and interesting. Yeah, I'm going to,
if it were cool and interesting.
Yeah, we'll probably get some emails about that one, but that's okay. Because Hall of Presidents is where I go to sleep. And
there's a Hall of Presidents fan out there somewhere who's like super pissed right now.
That's right. They're like, I cannot believe you said that about the Hall of Presidents. But the Hall of Presidents doesn't have Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow. It doesn't have, who is the last time it was re-recorded, I believe, they moved the father's voice to, oh gosh, the name escapes me. But you know, A Christmas Story?
Yeah.
Okay, the guy who does the narration for that is the guy who is now the voice of the father as well. And I'm also a huge fan of A Christmas Story. You know, it's like one of those shows that my family has to watch every Christmas. So hearing his voice, I think, is also just something fun that I kind of enjoy about that attraction.
Yeah. It's a... Oh, man. Yeah. It's hard to explain the Carousel of Progress and make it sound cool and not lame.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun. It's just so much fun.
It does sound lame because it is a show, a 21-minute show featuring audio animatronics. It sounds like the Hall of Presidents.
But... And the same dog from like 1920 or 1890 to 1985 or whatever
That dog rolls on. And he's looking a little slow by the end, folks, but he is still there.
He's still alive.
He's still there.
World's oldest dog.
You've got, who is it, old Uncle Orville sitting in the bathtub because it's too hot.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, like the 40s or the 50s or something. And
we got this newfangled TV set here.
Yep. No privacy. I get no privacy or something to that. You know, just funny stuff in that show. So, yeah, Carousel of Progress, I feel like, is a must-see attraction.
It's good for a laugh. Don't stand up. Don't get up during the thing because they get really mad and they like come over the little PA and they're like, please sit down.
My guess is that they don't want that thing to start moving while you're standing up and suddenly they're responsible for that, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
So where should we go to next?
Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, the most unfortunate abbreviation in the history of Disneyland or Disney at all.
We're just going to gloss over that, okay? If somebody wants to figure that out, they can figure that out. We are glossing over that comment that you've made, and we're going on to what the attraction actually is. So did you do Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor?
Oh, yes. I've been there like four times. I love it.
So you want to go through exactly what it is for those who have not been.
So you queue up, and it's kind of an indoor-outdoor queue, but basically you go through the queue, and it's Monsters, Inc. themed. And then once you get in, it's in a theater, which is themed like a stand-up comedy club, and you sit down, and they have voice actors in the back who are doing the voices of characters from Monsters, Inc., like Mike Wazowski and Roz and characters like that. And they will actually like single people out in the audience, and they'll respond to your comments, and they do their jokes, but about you. And it's really cool to see Mike Wazowski like call out the guy in the red muscle shirt. And then they like put the guy in the red muscle shirt up on the screen, and they like make fun of him, and they make all these callbacks to this, you know, whatever guy they pick at the beginning. And it's really cool. And the voice actors are really good.
By voice actors, you mean the characters that are there. Cause remember, we're in Disney. So we're
right. Yeah.
We're suspending. Yeah.
Mike Wazowski is really there.
There we go. No, it is awesome, the setup that they've done there. And I think, you know, I haven't researched this, but it seems to me that that was kind of a natural progression from Turtle Talk with Crush over at Epcot.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you've done Turtle Talk with Crush, you know the format.
Yeah, but it goes so above and beyond. And I think what's cool about it is it very much feels like you almost feel like the people that they're picking on are plants in the audience, and everything has been pre-recorded until they begin to just really hit on very specific things on multiple people in the audience. And then suddenly you realize, oh, wait, this isn't just some recorded show that I'm going to watch and it's going to be the same every time. It actually totally depends on who's in the audience and what's going on as to how this is all going to play out.
Yeah, I had them pick someone who I waited in the line with, and I was like, oh, okay, that person was queued up. I don't think they'd go to that extent to plant someone.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's awesome. It's great. And it's so much fun. Like, it's fun. It's fun for me as an adult, but I can't imagine how much fun that would be for a kid. It's like at the end of Star Tours when they like show the picture of one of the kids who's the defector or whatever.
Yeah, the rebel spy that is currently on that you need to bring safely or whatever.
Right. And that kid's just like, oh my God, that's me. It's kind of like that. If like Mike Wazowski starts talking to a little like 8-year-old boy, you know?
Right.
That's insane.
Yeah. And it so personalizes the experience. So it personalizes the experience, which makes it really fun. And it also differentiates the experience every time, which makes it something that you can actually go back and do, as opposed to doing one time and being like, eh, I know exactly, you know, because I do, you know, I've done Peter Pan's Flight, I don't know how many times, or It's a Small World, I don't know how many times, but it's the same attraction every time I go.
Right.
Which there's some part of me that enjoys that, knowing that it's been the same for so long and everything. But then there's another part of me that says, it'd be kind of cool to see something different. And that's what you get at Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor. So
I went 2 days in a row and didn't hear a recycled joke.
Yeah, if you'd have gone a third day, you might have got one or two. But clearly they don't just have one set of jokes they're going from. So there is a little bit there to pull from for them. And my guess is they probably allow some improv actually to go on there and everything. It's probably not just a fixed list of, okay, pick from these jokes which ones you're going to use for the audience tonight.
Right. Find someone in the audience who fits one of these.
Right. One of these criteria. Jokes. Yeah. So that, I think, is definitely a high point. And you know what? I'm going to take it directly from a high point to what I personally feel is a bit of probably the low point for Tomorrowland to me, which is Stitch's Great Escape.
Never done it. Didn't do it.
I almost feel like it's something you need to experience because it is that bad.
You're really making me want to see it, Brad.
I know. It's you know how some people point out the B movies and they're like, dude, this one is so bad. You've just got to see this movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like Stitch's Great Escape is somewhat like that in that you need to do it once because it just is that awful. But I don't think you need to do it more than once.
It's a treat for your eyes, ears, and nose.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, it is. Treat is an awfully strong word for your nose. Treat is an awfully strong word. So Stitch's Great Escape actually began as, I believe, Alien Encounter when it was first built. And that was an attraction. This was very much Disney saying, we are going to put attractions in Walt Disney World that are going to have a very specific adult bent to them. Because this was a scary attraction. There was no two ways around it. I mean, I forget what the basic backstory was, but essentially you're all sitting in this room and you sit in this chair and it actually has a deal that closes very much kind of like a roller coaster, anything that's got a loop in it. You know how they have like the shoulder bar that goes mm-hmm. down over you. It's got that to it. And you sit down and I forget what the backstory was, but basically this alien is in the middle of the room in this glass and all of a sudden everything goes horribly wrong. The alien escapes, which you kind of see through, you know, like there's smoke everywhere and there's flashing lights and you see the glass break and then all of a sudden it all goes black and you find out what these shoulder things are actually able to do is it, you know, they're the alien is like moving around the room and you can hear it moving around the room because they've got speakers on the left and the right. So they've have full stereo control around you. And as the alien is jumping from area to area, like the shoulder harnesses will actually bounce. So it feels like this alien, and all of a sudden you hear it right next to your ear, just like growling in your ear. And I mean, and you can feel the breath and, you know, I think it even like drooled on you at some point or something. I mean, like I said, this was a freaky experience. And I think because of that, my guess is that the, you know, it just didn't get enough traffic because at the end of the day, it's in the Magic Kingdom. And, you know, like we talked about with Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger Spin, the big thing for that is that they managed to make it something that was accessible by all ages. This was definitely not accessible by all ages. And so it got reskinned to Stitch's Great Escape. And I say, you know, it's not Jingle Cruise where they just pasted Stitch over everything. You know, they actually put in new audio animatronics and everything. But, you know, they still have, so, you know, whereas the alien was scary jumping all around the room, now you've got Stitch jumping all around the room and, you know, rah, 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 in your ear and things like that, you know, and where you could feel the alien's breath. Now Stitch burps a chili dog at you.
No.
I'm just going to let you guys know that ahead of time. That's why I said the, you know, the whole smell thing is, you know, Disney made the smell of a chili dog being burped and puts it in your face. So, so that's what Stitch's Great Escape is. You're going to sit in an auditorium. He's going to bounce around. Now, while they have made it more accessible, I will definitely say it is not for younger kids. I guess everybody's kid is different, but I think for most kids, this is going to be really, really scary. It doesn't matter if it's Stitch. All of a sudden you're going to be in the dark and things are bouncing around and it sure seems like Stitch is really out there jumping on you and everything.
But Brad, there's an exclamation point in the name.
And this is angry Stitch. This is not friendly Aloha. Ohana means family Stitch either. You know, this is back when Stitch was the experiment that needed to be transferred because he could kill a planet, Stitch. So that is Stitch's Great Escape. And now you know. And I'm going to tell you that since you haven't experienced it, you still do need to go experience it. Hold your breath when you hear Stitch burp. And then you can say that you've actually been on Stitch's Great Escape.
Okay, I'll do it.